A really good one is determination, but the most kingdom nation is domination. I want to suggest to you tonight, very forcibly, God put us here to have dominion over the earth. Isn't that what He said in Genesis? He wants us to be dominators. Now, not in the sense that we're tyrants or dictators, but that we dominate through the empowerment of the Spirit and the Word. Now, if you can bring all these nations into culmination with assassination or resignation or termination, you'd be all right. God wants us to be influencers. And He's put inside of us that ability. I was in Armenia a year and a half ago. And we left the capital city, headed to another venue to teach pastors and leaders. And somebody pointed out the window and said, "Look, there's Mount Ararat." Now I thought, they didn't go and move that mountain on me. I thought it was in Turkey. Well, truth is, I did a little homework. And Ararat sits on landmass in Turkey, in Iran, in Azerbaijan, and in Armenia. But out of that statement, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is where God commissioned the second generation of humanity to multiply and replenish the earth. Mount Ararat. Now, we'd like to think God's going to send the end time revival here in America, right? We've seen pockets of that from Florida to Pensacola, Brownsville. We've seen it in Kansas. We've seen it in Hot Springs right here in our state. We've seen California. We've seen in Canada, the Toronto blessing. We've seen pockets of significant revival. I happen to think that God may just choose this region of the world to begin His end time revival. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I mean, why not? This is where this book was written. Makes sense to me. God might just start the revival right there. But I begin thinking about this and processing this. And I believe that God has given to us. I mean, what do you think about the command? Multiply and replenish the earth. But I believe that God has put inside of us a deposit. He put something in me and something in you that'll make a significant difference, not in just our lives, but those around us. Genesis 2:7, the Bible says God breathed the breath. Everybody say breath. The breath of life into Adam. He wasn't just doing CPR. Okay, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you pump a while, you do mouth to mouth. No, God put inside man. The word breath means divine inspiration, divine intellect. Of course, He gave us oxygen. We know that biologically. But when God breathed that breath, the Hebrew word is divine inspiration and intellect. I believe that that gift, that impartation transcends every generation. And you and I sit here in this room today with divine intellect and divine inspiration inside of us. And it just needs to be tapped into. Some of us get lazy and we take it to somebody else to fix it. But we got to know there's answers in us. And there's answers in this Word. There's answers by His Spirit through revelation. God has given us the ability not just to solve our problems and challenges, but to change our world. To literally change Batesville, its region of the state. This state. And why stop here? Let's let it ripple out into the nations. So God's put something very significant in us that'll help us do that. Now, ever since I was in kindergarten, we've all been conditioned. It's what I call a containment doctrine. Everybody looks alike. Everybody dresses alike. We all act alike. We even do this. Our society does it. Our government wants us to do it. All kinds of social things. Even our churches. Now, lift your hands like this, or do this, or don't do that. We've got all our rules, you know, as a church. Not everywhere, but you understand what I'm saying. Just kind of nod at me. It's a containment doctrine. And it's what society, somebody crafts and wants to control us to fit into some type of cookie cut design. When I was in kindergarten, I clearly remember the teacher giving me a sheet of paper with something like you see here, a butterfly, and says color. So, man, I'm coloring away. I'm having a big time. And I get a little wild, you know. And I remember her saying to me, "No, don't color outside the lines. It's not pretty that way." I very distinctly recall that. Now, I know they were working on my motor skills. I needed them then. I need them now. But what they should have done instead of slapping my wrist is should have given me a blank sheet of paper and says, "Now create." And then when little Johnny brings you a sheet of paper so scribbled up you have no idea what this is, instead of saying, "What in the world is this?" you say, "Johnny, tell me about your drawing." And he begins tapping into divine intellect and inspiration. And he begins telling you. And you start seeing on that page his dreams. And that's why little boys and girls grow up to be great people of God or great people in society, is because somebody tapped into that breath that God breathed into each of us. My wife, it's been probably 12, 13 years ago, we were sitting in church together. And she wrote a note and passed it to me. I know you're not supposed to write notes in church, but y'all pray for her. It said, I still have it right here in my Bible. It said, I love you. I miss you. We need to have coffee on the deck. It so happens she was referencing where we lived here in Batesville. We had a deck. We could look out over our backyard. We'd just go sit out there and drink coffee. But she was not saying I'm having a caffeine withdrawal. She wasn't saying I missed the deck. What she was saying to me was, we need to dream again. This is about 12, 13 years ago, and life was busy. And how many knows life is busy? And she said, we just need to slow down and recapture and regain stuff. We have to be like the salmon. We have to fight. Go back to that birthing place. Salmon goes and deposits their eggs where they were birthed. We got to go back to the dream. We got to go back to the Great Commission, church. What was that? Okay. And so we have to advance the kingdom of God in a righteous kind of way, according to the Word of God. Now, an entrepreneurial spirit, is it in you? Is that spirit in you? You say, well, I never had a good idea in my life. That's not a good answer if you're married. God has put inside of us the entrepreneurial spirit, I believe. An entrepreneur is somebody who manages or organizes an enterprise. Jesus said in John 16, I'm going to build a church, guys. But Peter, I'm giving to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I'm building the church. But Peter, I want you to be an entrepreneur, a manager, a steward, an organizer of the enterprise called the kingdom. That's pretty significant that God entrusts to us His kingdom. There's an inheritance with that, by the way. I believe God's called us to be dominators. I believe God's called us to have answers for people who are facing crises in their lives. I had the privilege of visiting with your pastor before service tonight. We talk periodically, but we haven't really been able to catch up. I'm thrilled about what I'm hearing. You guys are answering some people's problems. How many is here tonight? You got some problems answered as a result of the ministry of this church. That's what I'm talking about. And as you continue doing that, God's given us this ability to answer people's problems and bring correction where there's disorder. So let's read in Genesis chapter 11. Turn with me, if you haven't already. Chapter 11, verse 1. I read to you from the NIV. Somebody call that the non-intelligent version. The whole world had one language, common speech, and as men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said, let's make brick and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let's build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the men were building. And He said, if it's one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible to them. And so the Lord said, let's go down and confuse the language so they won't understand each other. And He scattered them from there all over the earth. They stopped building the city. That's why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. Now, God gave a pretty incredible commission to Noah and his family. And He blessed them abundantly and altogether. That's what the word blessed means. Abundantly and altogether. Noah, I bless you abundantly and altogether. That means the full capability of multiplying and replenishing the earth. So the people had in them the ability to do incredible things. I just got back from Egypt from last year, and the pyramids, the most amazing, one of the seven wonders of the world, that I forget how many years ago, and I think it was four decades it took to bring stones down the Nile, huge boulders. If you go to my website, I think there's some pictures in there that you'd see. It's just amazing how men move technologically things that they didn't have cranes, but they got them down the Nile and they got them put up, and it goes, I forget how many, well, they use meters, and I don't know what meters from feet is, but I mean, it was tall. You know what the pyramids are about. This is amazing what man could do. So when God gave them this, He had gave them the full capability of doing it. When Jesus said, I want you to go and preach the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission, He had inside of us is the ability to do that. Yes, it's a challenge, but He gave us the ability to get it done. And so inside of us is entrepreneurial ability. Not that Noah and his family weren't already entrepreneurs, because when they landed, God said, now this is what I want you to do, multiply and replenish. I mean, who'd ever built an ark before? Who'd ever had the animals, two of each kind come in, seven of some birds and whatnot for sacrifices? Who decided, see, they didn't know there was going to be there a year and 10 days. And so they had to have enough food to do this. They had to think. Which is unfortunately what a lot of people don't do today. They don't think. Somebody else just tells them when to punch in, when to punch out, and just be on your own till you come back at 8 o'clock in the morning. We got to be thinkers, friends. We got to be people who think outside the box to get done what God told us to do. And so they had to have enough food not only for them but the animals, and then they had to figure out what to do with the byproduct of the animal food. Not trying to be crass or rude, but they had to be entrepreneurs about this. They're in this thing for over a year, and they've got to figure out how to solve problems. Just figure it out. Go to God. Look in His Word. If any man lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God who gives freely. So, they got the men and women moved eastward. Noah died 350 years after the ark landed. The people moved eastward. They found the Valley of Shinar. And somebody had to figure out what components to extract from the soil that would be the hardest material. How long to put it in an oven? Not too much, because it'll be brittle. Not too little, it'll be mushy. Because they had to, if they're going to build a city and a wall, it's got to be sustainable. If you're going to build a tower that reaches to heaven, it has to be strong material. And so somebody had to figure out how wide the base of this thing is going to be. I don't know if it's a half mile or a mile wide. But they said, God said, if we don't stop them, they'll succeed in building this tower to heaven. So, I mean, entrepreneurialism is going everywhere. That's what God gave them, and that's what we need to recapture and be anointed again to do. Now, four incredible things that I want to show you here, found in, I believe it's verse 5-6. That when plugged into anything, will absolutely transform the situation. And here's what it is. God said, if as one people, that's community, speaking the same thing, that's unity, they've begun to do this as activity, then nothing they plan as strategy will be impossible for them. The King James says, nothing they imagine will be impossible. Now, God didn't come and say, let's anoint that city, let's anoint that tower. In fact, it was anti-God. It was not the will of God. And yet they were succeeding. And God, in fact, said, if we don't stop them, they're going to succeed. And so God shows here through these principles, these four principles. There's no God in this. Man's getting it done, though. Who got Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki and Warren Buffett and Oprah Winfrey? I'm not judging their spirituality, but somebody tapped into the Elvis Presleys of our world. And today, they're what we call significant features in our society. Some of them making some wonderful differences. Bill Gates is a philanthropist. I mean, some of these guys are huge dents in helping people. And I believe it's a result of the God deposit put in us when He breathed into Adam. And it's through all of mankind. And you and I can tap into that and solve some problems. Any problems in your area? Sure. How about the economy? How about marriages? How about drugs? I know you're addressing those things, but I believe there's deeper, greater, more penetrable possibilities right up here and in here that God will help us to find answers and solve some problems. Now, these principles work whether for righteous causes or for unrighteous causes. 7.5 years ago, Osama bin Laden. He said, let's get around these core values. Community. One people. Let's do damage to America. Amen? Now, here's the vision. Core value is to hurt America. Here's the vision. Let's all speak the same thing here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, see to it you speak the same thing. Osama bin Laden got people to buy into his vision, which was unified. He developed a strategy, and we trained the pilots that flew into the buildings, towers, and then they acted on that strategy. This was an unrighteous cause, right? And over 3,000 people lost their life because of these four principles. What do you think would happen if we would align ourselves with the will and the word and the heart of God? Don't you think we can change our world? Absolutely. And so this stuff works. I want to talk to you a little bit about how the technology of our world has significantly changed. I won't talk about that. I have in my hand a BlackBerry Fold. I bought this phone because when I'm international, with the right program and plan, you can do emails and internet and that sort of thing. And it's just more economical than, you know, phone cards. And anyway, it's a good way to keep in touch with my wife. This phone, you can see all the things phones do. It's amazing. I sent pictures just the other day through my phone yesterday to my family. And we text, you know, and we email and we talk. This is the most amazing thing that somebody figured out for me. I can be 10,000 miles away and talk to my girlfriend. And she's my wife too, by the way. How many thinks after 31 years you still ought to be boyfriend, girlfriend? It's an amazing thing that this phone allows me to do. But this is what somebody figured out. Somebody figured out how to take the invisible, which is my voice, capture it, and control it to through space to bounce off of a satellite. This is more intriguing that they knew how to position. How many satellites are in space? It's amazing. And so they position this thing to bounce off where I'm in South Africa, and it bounces off the Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I talked to my wife. Isn't that amazing to us? This is man's ability. And this is, I think, void of God's. You know, let's make it possible for us to... I'm sure he's into communication because that's a key, critical thing in our lives today. But this is man's ingenuity. This is the deposit God put inside of man. And man is figuring out problems to be solved. Now, what about medical advancements? We've already taken care of polio, smallpox, and tuberculosis, and a lot of different things that we can take care of. I believe there's a cure for cancer and AIDS coming. I believe it's coming. Why? Because of the entrepreneurial spirit. Why don't God just come out and heal everybody? Good question. Maybe He wants us to be dominators. Maybe He's asked us to come up with solutions. Not just medicinally, not just educationally, spiritually, yes, but I think there's some practical things that we can do and are doing. Man's doing it. I'd never seen before the power of communication until I looked at this. You either get stuff done or don't get stuff done based on your level of communication, right? If you're husband and wife, you're not talking, you ain't going nowhere. It's not going to happen. But the more intimate you can be in your relationship and your communication, the more beneficial your entire relationship takes shape and form. God didn't come and say, you know, we got to stop this stuff. So let's break their legs so they can't get around. Well, they'd have figured out wheelchairs or something back then. Well, let's knock off the mayor, because you know there's mayors in cities and council. Let's knock the leader off. No, somebody else would have risen to that occasion. God didn't tweak with their strategy because He would have aborted His multiply and replenish command. Because we've got to have strategy to do that, right? What did He do? What did God do to stop this nonsense of building this city and erecting this tower that was anti-God? He confused their ability to communicate. He confused their languages. And they scattered, and God got done what He wanted to get done. Now the enemy knows this as well as God knows this. Do you ever feel like this guy looks? Man, what do I do here? Confused. That's why, folks, we have to be in the Word and of the Word and led by the Spirit of God. We got to hear what the Father's saying, and we got to see what the Father is doing and echo the heart and the voice of God. Now, oh my goodness. I have to hurry, so quit leading me on here, right? Let me talk to you about, we got to change the way we think, okay? If I go 5 minutes over, we're going to die here. This is so important. The way we think is so vital. We have to change. If you're going to tap into this, we got to change this up here between our ears. Everybody in agreement with me? We have to change the way we think. Now, we're not the best at entrepreneurialism in the church world. We've not been. There's a lot of movements and churches and ministries that are starting to make a huge impact. And I'm so excited to hear about and see those kinds of things happening. But we've adapted the idea that poor is more spiritual than wealthy. I think that's a containment doctrine. Being poor is not more spiritual than wealthy. You have to take a lot of scriptures out of the Bible if you're going to line up on that side, all right? But we're going to have to change how we think, because Deuteronomy 28 says, I'll make you the head, not the tail, top, not the bottom, lender, not the borrower. So we have to be the salt and the light of the world. We got to bring the change that God said, this is what I want you to be. I want you to permeate, penetrate, and saturate this globe with me. Now, we got to change the way we think. Let me talk about how we think in terms of finances. Is that okay? Because most of us think with regard to our money. The very poor of our world think day to day. Poor people think week to week. Middle class people think month to month. Rich people think year to year. And the very wealthy think decade to decade. Now, if there's anything to what Jesus said, seek and you shall find. How many knows anything Jesus said, there's something to it. The poor are seeking survival. They're just looking for another meal. How am I going to feed my family? It's an honest cry. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm just saying this is how we think. Middle class is thinking, I'm comfortable. Why change? I mean, everything's good. I'm fine. I got my pew. It's wallowed out, fitting my rump. I'm doing good. You know, everything's good. Air's right. Music's good. Pastor, everything's great. And so that's the hardest church to change, is everybody who's comfortable. What we have to do is we got to move this mindset financially into the kingdom and determine that everybody needs to be free. This is what the wealthy people are thinking, freedom. They're not going to punch anybody's clock. They are the clock. They own the clock. They don't want anybody telling them, and I'm not meaning in a defiant way, but they have a drive inside of them to get things done. What's your passion? What is in your heart? Then let that be your driving motivational factor, because we got to quit thinking from day to day, week to week, month to month. We got to think about how we're going to get everybody liberated from sin and into the kingdom. This is the way we have to begin thinking. We have to think generationally. We can't just think about today or even next week or next month or next year. We have to think in terms of years and in terms of generational. Now, when I talk about money, people usually say, well, balance. You don't balance the prosperity message with the poverty message. Now, does prosperity gospel need to be balanced? Absolutely. First man to say it needs balance. But you don't balance it with a poverty mindset or a poverty preach. How do you balance the prosperity gospel? You balance it. How do you balance prosperity? With generosity and responsibility. And so how do you plug this in here? We are to be responsible to the word and generous with Jesus. That's how we live this thing out and experience and fulfill what God's given us the ability to do. Listen to Ecclesiastes 10:19. Money is the answer to everything. When I read that, I'm going, whoa. Now, does it mend marriages? No. But it takes the stress off the relationship, think about it, that causes, they say money is the number one reason for divorce. I don't think that's necessarily a truth. It may be the symptom. But how many knows if money is not an issue, that there's less stress in marriages? I also know people who are very wealthy have major marriage issues. So we all know there's a balance to that statement. We know there's a categorization to that. But if you think about it, you know what keeps some of my fat passions and burnings from coming to pass? If I had $80,000, $90,000, it'd be in Bulgaria right now, because they're building a shelter for women who are prostitutes on the street, bringing them in, getting them born again, rehabilitated, discipled by in Christ, and they're training them job skills, taking care of their children if they have any, and then reintegrating them into society, and they need another $80,000, $90,000 to finish this home up. That's an answer. And some of the challenges you face here in the church and the desires of your heart, the ministries you want to fulfill, it's clipped by the lack of funding. And so we need to think outside the box when it comes to money. When I talk about entrepreneurialism, I'm talking about how to make some money. I'm talking about creative ideas that's sitting inside of your brain. And you snuff them out and let them die and wither and become anemic. I want to challenge that today. Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm wrapping up. It's the Lord God who gives us the ability to get wealth. The word gives in the Bible some 900 times in the Old Testament. And the word means to be, it means to show something fully deposited up into another. So when God says, I give you the ability to get wealth, it's fully deposited to you. It's yours, the ability to get wealth. I've not found the money tree in my backyard yet. I'm still looking. But how many knows God gives us the ability to generate wealth? Now, favor is a huge factor in this, and God has favored all of us one way or another, even financially. But I'm believing there's things and ways to go about getting stuff done. If money is an inhibitor of passion and kingdom fulfillment, then we as stewards and managers of this enterprise called the kingdom of God, we got to stand up and say, okay, got to figure this one out. God, Holy Spirit, talk to me. Show me what the answer is so I can get done the cry of my heart. Amen. Wealth is not just about money. Wealth is defined as goods, power, riches. There's the word. But strength, substance, valiant, virtuous, war, an army, a band of men. It talks about leadership. And how many knows leadership is simply influence? That's what wealth is. If you keep your neighbor's children on Friday night, you've just become a person of influence. I don't mean you have to do that every Friday night, but if you do that for a little while, you just gained influence in that family. If you saw, that's a problem for them because they need time alone. Say, hey, Mom and Dad, you go. We're going to take care of the kids Friday night. Y'all go have a date. Here's 20 bucks. Go to McDonald's. Okay, you're going to need a little more than that. Do something. Solve somebody's problems and you gain influence in their lives. Now, we're talking huge, global. We're talking many other things. But how many knows it starts right here in our backyard, right where we are? And so wealth is not all about money. It's about influence. It's about leading. It's about dominating. And again, it's not some arrogant, egotistical attitude we have over people because I did that for you, now you owe me, and you just owe me, you humble yourself. You bow down when I walk in the room, you salute. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about humbly serving somebody. When Joseph shared his dreams with his brothers, they said, will you rule us? How many knows that when he actually came 14 years later to reign in the kingdom, second to the governor, that he ruled his brothers? He didn't do it with any pride or arrogance. He did, in fact, had all the servants leave the room when he revealed who he was to his brothers. And he humbled, he cried, he wept. That's the attitude we got to have. But we can influence through serving and ruling like that. With answers. Joseph was an entrepreneur. God gave him visions. God gave him dreams. He had the answers to Egypt's recession. Imagine that. Do you think maybe? Well, don't get me going here. Did you say come home? All right. Did you say sick home? I think I could do a better job than some of our leaders do it, with all respect. I don't think they're balanced. I don't think they have a clue where we live. I think we ought to fire every one of them. Can you clip that part or just take that out? I think you ought to go next year, and you go next year, and I'll go serve a year, and you go year, you go year, and we'll just get this country back where it started. I know we have huge problems, and we don't have even a grasp of where we are in so many, 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 many ways. But folk, we gotta be problem solvers. And we may not go to Pennsylvania Avenue, we may not go to Little Rock, we may not serve. I'm saying let's do it. Let's line up. Let's be presidents. Let's be the Mike Huckabees and the Sarah Palins, or pastor, former pastor David Pepper. Was at the conference I shared with you about the other day. What a sweet-spirited guy. And when she was in Wasilla, she went to his church. Of course, she's in, I guess, Anchorage now, and so she goes to a different church, of course. But that's what I'm talking about. Whether they should have been, I don't know. I'm saying we got to line up, and let's be the next politician. Let's not just elect them. Let's become them. And you don't have to be that, but let's be the influencer to our neighbors. And this church is doing it. I salute you and commend you. You guys are kicking it. I'm so proud to hear what I hear. Thank God. But we got to think different. You hear what I'm saying? We got to think different. Now, I close with this. Lazarus' body was dead. Okay? 4 days later, he's starting to stink. His spirit is still alive, but his body's dead. Jesus came 4 days late. Can you imagine it? Did he ever show up 4 days late for you? Yeah, Lord, if you had a... He said, chill out, man. I'm going to take care of this. He stands in front of the tomb. Take the stone away. And they moved it back. And he said, I think he got loud. You know, Jesus said, I'm doing this for your sake. Father, do it for them. I know. But do this for them. So I think Jesus got loud. Not because, I think it was for the people. If nothing else, for me. I think he got loud. I said, Lazarus! And somewhere from out in the eons of eternity, sitting with David or Jeremiah or somebody, I don't know, Lazarus is, thank God, guys, I got to answer this call. And his spirit goes back into his body. He's dead physically, but his spirit re-emerges with his body. And he comes out in grave clothes. And Jesus said, now you loose him and let him go. They unbound the grave clothes so he could go and be what he was destined to be. And I don't know how many years he lived after that resurrection, but he became what we need to become today. Some of your dreams have been entombed. You've wrapped them up, you put a stone over them, and you got hurt somewhere, and you set yourself out, you became vulnerable and transparent, but you know that love is that way? And if you're gonna love anybody, you gotta become vulnerable. If you're gonna make a difference in society, you're gonna have to be vulnerable to that society. But we need to take the grave clothes off and come out and be who God's called us to be. Amen. We need a coming out party. I just thought of that. Let's just get out of this thing and be who God's called us to be. Salt and light. It's time for us to come alive. Amen? It's time for us to get alive again. I'm telling you, there's an answer sitting between your ears. I'm excited because some of y'all got the lights coming on. I'm seeing you smiling. Like, I don't know if you're laughing at me or not, but I'm just thinking that maybe you're getting a hold of some of this. And we're going to change our world. And this whole region is going to take a whole different perspective because it's not just the vision of one man. And while I believe everything comes under the umbrella of leadership, there's a lot of visionaries out here that need to get a hold of this and bring change. Start with your neighbor. Start with your community. Start with your area. Get on the school board. Well, come on, let's do something. How about you? Let's do something. Let's start making a difference. Let's start voicing and standing up and being what God's called us to be. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're speaking to us and for the lives that are going to be experiencing a stirred spirit. They're going to be stirred. You're calling their name. And the dreams and the passions and desires that have become anemic and sat on a shelf or stuck in a tomb somewhere. I'm tonight, in Jesus' name, I prophesy them back to life to rejoin the mind and the body, that our thinking is changed, that our actions change because of our thought. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so what we know can be transliterated into what we do. Father, we want to hear what you're saying, see what you're doing, and echo your heart. I pray for those in this room who've had inventions, ideas, and things inside them that has yet to come open. Pray for those who have legitimate things inside them, Lord, things you've given them, that they'll come back to life. I call them forth in Jesus' name. I declare them to live. I declare that they come alive and that the answers to this region and this state and this world we live in will begin its effect from rooms like this all over this world. Let us become the entrepreneurs you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Pastor.
Wow. Dude, that's some good stuff there. We could just sit and feast on that a while, couldn't we? Wow. Did you enjoy that? Does anybody wish they'd got an envelope now? You can still get one. Let's pray. We're going to dismiss, and you go get your kids, and ushers will be at the back door. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, I believe this word was prophetic for us here in this place tonight. May it permeate our spirit. May it do what it was sent to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.